We're going back into the book of Judges again tonight. We started last week doing some introduction things to it about the book. The book of Judges must really be important because God put it in the Bible. Really, the book is from beginning to end is a cycle of what Israel did coming out of Egypt after they came into the land and that stuff. As we're going to find out, as we're going to start into Judges. We're going to start reading in the second chapter tonight. And we find as the children of Israel came into the land, they started a pattern of things. And we're going to find out a little bit tonight why sort of things ended up like they did. It's not a justification of the people from the standpoint of what they did. They walking in the light of what you have is a hugely important thing. And we're going to see some things in pattern. You know, sometimes in reading Scripture and studying Scripture, you have to, you know, the Bible says certain things, but the implication, how it implies things is important that you look at. Because sometimes we read things, but we need to understand sometimes looking at it because of other things in Scripture is understanding what's not said. And sometimes we have a tendency to put things into the Bible in our thought and our ways that we're thinking. Really, the Bible doesn't really speak in that direction. And so we're going to find, you know, a little few things tonight as we look into this. Because the children of Israel come in the land, and one of the things they didn't do, they didn't obey God. And we have in the second chapter is really, from what starts off in the beginning, we find out it does a little bit of a backup here on chapter 2 when it starts. Something that took place while Joshua was still alive. It starts there in chapter 2 and verse 1. We find this. It says, the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you from Egypt and brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now, it says the angel of the Lord here. If you read back into the book of Exodus, when God took the children of Israel out, Moses went up on the mountain. The discussion was about God going with him, and he said he was going to send his angel. Now, when you ever see this thing of the angel of the Lord, now at times you see that angels and things appeared, but you'll always see this from a scriptural standpoint. When it talks about the angel of the Lord, you'll see that the angel speaks as if God's saying it himself. It always does that. When the angel of the Lord, you find the book of Revelation the same way. We're speaking of the angel of the Lord, and speaks as if God himself is saying something. And so this angel is a perfect representation of God. When God said to Moses, said he didn't want to go, if he said, you didn't go with me. And he said, he's going to send his angel before him. And his angel was an exact representation of him. When the angel spoke, he spoke as if God was saying it. And so, and that's really, that angel didn't, this angel, when you see the angel of the Lord, they don't see anything other than what God says. And so he goes on here to speak, and he says, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you've not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? So they had instruction when they went into the land what to do. And we're going to find that they didn't follow that. It says, he told them they shouldn't make any covenants with any of the people. Well, they didn't do that. They follow what God had told them to do, but they went into the land. One thing, they're disobedient. They didn't put the people out like they were supposed to. And we're going to find that became a huge problem. It says verse 3, therefore he said also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So because of their disobedience, things definitely did not go well for them. It's important to understand God told them not what they were supposed to do and what they weren't supposed to do. If you go through the scripture and read all the things that God told them when they go into the land, well, is number one is not driving out the people that were there. One of the things, sometimes things become difficult. And if you take the children of Israel, it's always, you know, interesting when they first arrived at the land, and God had them send in the spies. He didn't send them into the land. He sent spies into the land. And he told them to go in and spy out the land and look. The story, you know, the 12 spies went in and 10 spies came back. The Bible says with their report was The Bible, in fact, says it's an evil report they came back with. And they come back and spoke against what God had told them. God said, I gave you the land. I'm going to drive the people out and all this kind of stuff. He said, you know, you go in. So God sends them in. There's always a part that man plays. They had to go in. They had to do it. Well, you know, sometimes people basically want God to do it all. God, you go. They don't want to. They don't want to face the problems. You know, the idea that we use faith in things so we don't have to deal with stuff is not the way that the way that it operates. We still are going to have to deal with things, and so they didn't do it. They went in. In fact, they didn't kick people out of the land. And we have the angel of the Lord tells them. Now, this is we're going to find out. This is during Joshua's time. After Joshua had went in, he said the angel said he ain't going to do it. So God's not going to do it. We came to the land. We came across here. God, you just take care of this thing. We need to know there's, like to anything, there's a God side to thing and there's a manward side to things. And there's a part that man plays and a part God plays. You know, that's sort of the teaching that people do. God is in control. That's so I don't have to, whatever goes wrong, that's his fault.
Yeah.
Sort of in a sense, that's what they were doing. It ought to be done. It ought to be taken care of. And this is God's part, and not dealing with what their part was to do or what they were supposed to be doing. So really, they're being rebuked here coming into the land. So he said he wouldn't drive down. Verse 4, he says, so it was when the angel of the Lord spoke the words, all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. It says, then they called the name of the place Bochim, and he said, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Now that word Bochim just means to weep. That's what it means. They called it weep. You notice that through the scriptures, most of the time when they name something, they name something to whatever it was happened at the time, and that was the name of the place. So the names came from that. We usually don't name things accordingly today. People don't do that. It's just like that. They named their children, and it's very interesting. You study the scripture, their children turned out like their names.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we don't know why we name. We just pick things we like to hear. And because one of the things you need to understand, see, God has a system, and it's called words from your mouth coming to pass. And every time you call a child something, you're calling them whatever. And that's a constant thing in life. You're saying that. That's them. You be careful what you name.
Mm-hmm.
We don't today. We just, whatever's the popular thing we think's cute. And we say it. Words mean something. And whatever you say, you're calling it. In the Bible, people name their children sometimes bad names. And their children turned out identical. See, we have all this stuff today, how we think about things and that stuff. And we're about following the Bible. And we know very little about it. And we practice just like these people. God turned around and gave us all of this so we'd have the wisdom to do it right. And we're like the children of Israel. We don't do it. We come up with our ideas and our plans.
Yeah.
Like I turned out like my name. I turned out like my name. Edward was a name for royal. It was protector, guardian. It's just sort of the way I've always been. I'm a protector and guardian about things. That's me. But see, people are called stuff. People don't realize it. You name them. That's why it was so important, and people's names and what they called them. But we today don't do that. We don't understand the importance. Because, you know, a child, every time you use that name becomes a thing you're saying to them all the time. They reference to that, and they just, all the time you're saying that. What does it mean? I remember a while back we had kids. They started this thing I started to notice after we got saved they had these, they put these things out of what different names meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was funny because the Christians came along and everything that a Christian would name their kid, they always said meant something really. Wow, great. It was thought it was lies. The names didn't mean that because when you'd look up the word used back it wasn't used at all like that. But they thought if they said that, that it would just turn into that, I guess. They sort of made up their own dictionary. And but see, these things are important. God came along and told these people, and by not obeying it, they ended up in a lot of trouble. So it says, and when Joshua had dismissed the people, he said, the people of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So this was at Joshua's time on there. Then it says this. So it says, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. So during Joshua's period of time, and that's and the elders who lived past him, they all followed, the Israel followed God. In other words, they kept up the practices. And it says, now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath. Harris, and it says in the mountains of Ephraim on the sides of the north of Gaash. And it says, when all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, it says another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. So another, and the whole thing of it is, why didn't they know? Somebody wasn't doing something that they didn't know. It's like anything over time. Over time, people let things slip. It's like we do. I watched this. And when I came into the kingdom, I got born again in January of 1980. And there was just a lot of stuff going on spiritually at that time. And people were just following God like crazy. But I saw over time, people started drifting away. And people started, and the more, and this is a principle in the Bible. The further you move away, your children will move further away. That's the thing. The further you move away from the things of God, your offspring will move further. That's just the way it is. And so we need to understand. This is what happened. You know, people came along and, you know, they got into, like these people got into the land, I'm sure what it got to be like when they got in there, because we find out, like over time, they didn't push the people out. So even the elders were slowly not doing, you know, they aren't taking the land like they're supposed to. They're not doing, they're slowly moving away. You know, they have the tabernacle that they had. They have the ark and all that stuff. They have everything from the standpoint of worshiping God. But if their generation arises and don't know, there's a reason that they don't know. See, that's why you can't, when you sit down and reason, like all of a sudden one day there was some kids born and nobody knew God. And everybody died before. That never happens like that. It's the generations came along as over time people move away and get further away from things, and after a while there's ones who don't know. Now, it isn't that they didn't know completely, because we're going to find out as we go along, when they get themselves in trouble up to their necks, they knew who to call on. It's like people today. People don't want to have anything to do with God, but as soon as they get in trouble, they run to look for a preacher or a church, or they all of a sudden they know who they're supposed to be in contact with. It always makes me laugh. Always cracks me up with people. You know, they don't have nothing to do with it. Like they don't know what's going on. And a lot of people, a lot of even Christians think about, well, they don't understand. People understand a whole lot more than they put on to. As long as you let them play dumb, they'll play it. They'll play you like a fiddle. No, they aren't stupid. They know. You know, so I always ask people all the time, they get something they'll call, they don't want to know. They don't have nothing to do with the church. As long as they get in trouble and then they want a church. And I always ask them, I say, what on earth do you call me for? I don't sit there and talk to you about their problem. What do you call me for? Well, you know, I need help. Why would you call me? What's this? When you call a church? I said, do you have anything to do with churches or anything? What do you do? Why would you think you'd get help here? What would that? Well, you know, you start making them get honest. Say, you know, I'm a slacker, I know what to do, but I don't do it. Gotta use a little psychology on him, you know. You can't use spirituality on him, there you go. No. But you can use psychology on him. Hallelujah. Well, So there's a generation who didn't know God. Well, we know that that's not going to turn out well for them. That's now there's going to be big trouble because ones who don't walk with God. It says in verse 11, it says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Now, you know, it's very interesting. They have a God. Now, you can't say Israel don't know. They have a tabernacle and stuff, and they have a place that go to worship. They knew that existed. They knew they had that. But why would you go to the Baals? Why would you go to other gods? In other words, they wanted a god. They just decided they didn't want the one that they had. They wanted one that somebody else had. And so it says, and they forsook the Lord of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. So things aren't going to go well now. They got to the point they followed other gods. One of the things that I think is sad because we have this tendency to think today because of grace, you can't provoke God to anger. I mean, I've done it. Nobody ever tell me you can't provoke God to anger. You can get God mad. Just go ahead and disobey when he told you not to do something. Don't think... You know, God may tell you time and time again about something, but one day, if you're going to ever pay attention, you're going to find out you can anger God. You can take to the point that you keep disobedience up, he'll get upset about it. I am sure you don't get upset at all at any of your children or anything like that. You never did nothing like that. You'd never get upset. I just, you know, Jesus even got angry. Well, but he did. They provoked him to anger. It says, verse 13, they forsook the Lord and served the Baals and the Asherahs. He says, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers and despoilers, and he sold them to the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. See, that's not good. See, we need to understand, we're seeing to thank God for grace. I always thought with Kenneth Hagin, one of the things that in teaching on these areas like this, and he would say, aren't you glad that you live under the days of grace? Because he said, under the law, judgment came quickly. Under grace, it's amazing how God will let things linger. But there is one problem that people have with grace, is because God doesn't judge quickly, people think they're okay and just keep doing it. In other words, dealing with the love of God, people need to be very careful how you push it with the love of God. Because you can push it to your own demise. To think because God is long-suffering, you can just do what you want. Not a good thing, not a good thing for people to do. Is we find that Israel gets themselves in just trouble after trouble because of what they do. They recycle the same things. So it says, whenever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity. And the Lord said, and as the Lord has sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. It don't say they were distressed. They were greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. And, now, it says, nevertheless, he said, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hands of those who plundered them. And in spite of this, here's a phenomenal thing. But I want you to see there's a principle here that we see in this. Thank God for grace. But God did not, you'll find this out as you read through Judges. And we're not going to read through all of it. You read through Judges. God never delivered them till they were greatly distressed. He never did. He never delivered them till they got greatly distressed. Now, can I read you something in the New Testament? It's a scripture we read before dealing with the areas of grace, but it's a good scripture. Dealing with the areas of dealing with the devil... In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, It talks about there, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. Then he says this, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while... Oh, the faith people love to teach this one. After you suffered a while, he will protect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. Huh. So there is things about suffering. It isn't that the fact, see, suffering, even when you mess up, some suffering can be a good thing to teach you if you didn't listen to teaching. You know, some people, like the end of you've heard, going to the school of hard knocks. That's some people, I see Christians, that's the only way they learn. They have to go through hard knocks to learn anything. That's the way they have to do. Seems like, now that's not the way God teaches. But nonetheless, there's things that you go through. Hardship and things is not a bad thing, because one thing is you have to learn to endure. But these folks, by their disobedience, let suffering go to calamity. They let it go to just, I mean, they're greatly distressed. Everything's falling apart. That was their choice. God doesn't teach in that manner. That's called judgment to destruction. That's what that is. You know, the book of Revelation's about God destroying the wicked. See, there's different kinds of judgment. There's judgment that God will use on people to try to teach them, because they get out in error, and he judges. But you know what? If a person keeps going and going and going, eventually God will use judgment to destroy. Book of Revelation's about it. That's why everybody loves to read it. Everybody likes to really get over there, get into that. It's fun to read. But it's judgment to destruction. That's what it is. It's about destroying the wicked. And so there's different types of judgment. There's judgment that God does to teach, and it does. And I mean, wake up when the judgment's teaching. it's for your good. That's what the Bible says. If God loves you, he chastises you. That's that kind of suffering. See, to teach us something. He's not trying to destroy us. It's like a child. You know, we shouldn't punish children because we hate them. We should punish them because we want them to learn to do good, but for their benefit. It's for their benefit. And so there is a good thing that punishment like that can do. And then there's the other side of it, which is punishment to destruction. I mean, we don't want to get into that one. And so that's what we're dealing with. These folks have gotten into themselves that they are, you know, greatly distressed. But the Lord, he said he would send judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. But then 17 says, yet they would not listen to their judges. Things are really looking up, aren't they? They wouldn't listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. So they would turn. But God sent judges. Now, when we talk about here in Judges, these judges were used really from the standpoint... when we talk about judges, we mostly just think about somebody who deals with, you know, it's just like with a court, proving whether somebody's right or wrong and that stuff. Judges, lots of times these would determine to people, what was the right thing to do or wrong thing to do. It didn't necessarily something criminal happen, but God used them in those manners. Like if you look over and look at Samuel, Samuel was a judge over Israel. He wasn't a warrior, yet we find some of these judges that God used, but yet we're going to find that they were warriors. God used them to lead armies and things. And so, they didn't only just judge Israel, but they judged the other nations, whoever was coming against Israel also. God used them in that manner. And so, when we think of this term judges, it's not like just sitting there's a criminal thing that went on and somebody's sitting there and determines who's guilty or innocent. Also the judges that would deal with them about following God. God, we're going to find that God did raise people up, for that purpose. So it says, when the Lord raised up the judges, the Lord with the judges delivered them out of the hand of their enemies. It says all the days of the judges, for the Lord was moved. Let's see, the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. Now, this is where you have to read what it doesn't say. God, this is God's deliverance has nothing to do with them and their asking. Because, understand, what does the Bible tell us pleases God?
Faith.
Faith. Without faith you can't please. They aren't asking by faith. God is delivering them because He pities them. In other words, this whole thing of God's deliverance to them through these time periods are all because of God, not because of them. They're still doing their stupid stuff and suffering terrible, and God delivers them because He pities them. Now you talk about a merciful God. These people are doing it, serving other gods, but Jehovah's nice to them and turns around and sends some judges to deliver them, and not because of faith, all because they're whining and crying. He still does that today. And many people think because they get delivered that God did it because of their faith. And it wasn't their faith at all. They had none. They just whined and God finally pitied them. And God did it. God does that all the time to people. He has pity on them. If God didn't have pity, America would be a cinder today. See, we need to understand, it's really funny. You guys have heard me talk about the fact when I got born again, I realized after some years, I learned, God was teaching me to walk by faith, and He did a lot of things in teaching me personally about things, about faith and about walking in it. And, I'd go along and I would stand in faith as far as I understood, but it's amazing as I went along in my Christian walk, I look back and think, my God, He didn't do what He did because I was really in faith. I was doing something I was thought I was, but He was just helping me along. It was just His mercy and grace working. You have to identify that. You'll never grow in faith. You'll never grow in faith if you don't understand your own faith, how far you are, if it's really you or not, whether you're really walking in it or not. I realized in my younger Christian walk, I'm totally amazed how much God did for me when I look back, and all because I was a baby trying this stuff, and He was doing things, and He did some phenomenal things happen. I mean, some absolutely miraculous things took place, but it wasn't because I was Mr. Miracle. It was because He was Mr. Miracle. And He did for me as a way of teaching me to bring me along. But as I got up and went on, those things at one time, as the Lord talked to me about a certain thing, I was sort of standing where I did years ago, and he clearly spoke to me and said, you ain't going to make that thing work doing what you're doing now. He said, you ain't going to believe like you did then and get this. He said, it ain't going to happen. See, you have to know that. See, I see people do this all the time. They're trying to walk in a faith, a baby faith that they did 40 years ago, and they're trying to do that today to get something. God won't do that. He expects people to grow up some. You're going to have to go to a higher level. There's nothing bad about that. That's good. We do that with children. Why do we educate children? Because what? We don't want to be dummies all their lives. Well, see, we have to do in the same way with ourselves that we have to do with faith in God. Is our development and growth, you can't grow if you don't know where you're at. What do I need? See, I see people, lots of times use faith to try to get stuff and get things all the time. There's nothing matter with asking for stuff and things. The Bible tells us we can. But we have to know our spiritual needs. We must know our spiritual needs. Because there's stuff if you don't ask for, you'll never get. You gotta ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. You have to know where you're at spiritually. And you don't want to have to see these people. They got such terrible suffering, God would deliver them because it got so bad for them, not because they were in a position that they deserved any help. They were not in a position. This is great. It's like God sending Jesus to the earth. It wasn't because anybody deserved it. Amen. And see, we need to understand, this is the dealings here with people. But God, out of mercy, God looks down and He's pitying them. It doesn't say He was moved by their faith. He wasn't moved by their faith. They're just crying. And here's another thing. If they don't know this God, how do they know who to call on? How do they know? How come they didn't call on Baal? You see, they knew. Mm-hmm. They knew. They knew who they should have been calling on, but they didn't. But we need to see this. It is amazing. And this is one thing is I am always amazed about the mercy and grace of God. It's phenomenal. Patience. 1950, he gives, in September 2nd, 1950, he gives Brother Hagin a vision and shows him all this different stuff about America. America's having its last call. And we're sitting down here now in 2023. The mercy of God on America. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And but yet, you know, Christians ought to be thanking God every day for being so merciful that they're still, he hasn't judged it. That, and there's many Christians that should be thanking God that they aren't terribly distressed. See, people right now think distressful, not to what these people were going through. We don't know what distress is. You know, there's people in the world today who are going through distress, but we aren't here in America. Not like we just got so tender we can't take anything. Everything upsets us and everything. That's all it is. But God in His mercy and grace, and that's why I always identify that, that God is being good. We didn't get our salvation and things because of anything we did good or earned anything. It was all, we didn't earn nothing. God did it all. God had pity on man and what sin had done to him. Man did not seek God. God sought man. And so we find with these people, see, there's patterns, and you'll always find these in scriptures. You'll always find this. But there's one thing. When I read this stuff, I'm like, oh, my God, is He merciful? Is He ever kind? He could have let them destroy these people. You know, the whole thing was, you know why he's saving these people? Do you know why He's delivering them? It is not because of them. It's because of Abraham. It's because of a guy like Moses. Think about David. David walked and followed God, and God told him that he would always have someone to sit on his throne. The only reason those other people ever got to sit on David's throne is because of David, not because of them. Mike, there were some really heathen kings that came from that. But they got to sit on the throne. God gave His word and even placed the heathens out of His, from the later generations, on the throne because He gave him His word. See, this is why I'm so big on, if you really love people and you really love your family, you follow God.
That's right.
Amen.
If you don't, no Christian will ever convince me they really love God or they really want. Why? Because of you, all through the Bible, we see God did what He did because of somebody else way back yonder. When the Lord spoke to me and told me that there would be a move of God come through the valley, He said it's going to come through the valley. He said not because of this generation. He said there's people who have prayed before and sought me, and He said I'm going to move. He said, I'll move in this last generation because of them. That's what He told me. I first got born again. That's what He told me. He said He would move. Well, as over the years, I've seen it in the scriptures. He does that. We have a very arrogant church world today and a very arrogant. People think they have arrived and got where they were because they have been so good at it. No, we are. If we know anything about God, there's others who have stood before us much more righteously. And the only reason we have what we do is because of them. And we need to know that and humble ourselves to those facts. Thank God, hallelujah, for those who followed God. Because generation, when God told me, I said, when I first got saved, I asked God, why? Why did you spare me? I mean, all the things that, you know, drugging and drinking and overdosing and Vietnam and all the stuff, all the other crazy things I ever did, I should have got killed doing. All the stupid stuff over the years. I said, God, how come I'm not dead? I said, I got friends that aren't here no more. They're gone. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm a young man, they're gone. How come? The Lord spoke to me again. He said, I spared you because you're dead. He said, he was righteous before me, and I spared you because of him. And then He said this to me. He said, that's when I got the revelation about Noah. He said, I didn't spare Noah. He said, Noah's family, because they were righteous. He said, I said Noah was righteous before me. And He said, I spared his family. And ever since that, I got that. I thought, I got to walk right. See, I learned this from the beginning. My family was going to hell because I was leading them to hell. That's where I was heading for. My authority was taking them there. And I found out that I could use my authority and I could change the direction of my family, my whole family. So people got to learn this stuff. We know very little in the script. We know very little in the Bible. We're all hit and miss stuff. We're always chasing around after our family trying to fix everything and say, no, you walk with God. If you ain't walking right with God, don't chase around after them to do something right. That's the big thing that I do. I never chased after my family about that. Juan, did I ever give you a hard time with that? No, never. It was always, God taught me from the beginning. If I complained about her, he told me, well, what about what you're doing? I said, did you have to bring that up? Did you have to do that? No, but he taught me, you know. But he taught me from her responsibility that she has, that I can't step into. It's her. She has to do. She has to walk in. But you know what? The person who's trying to be the leader of it. See, somebody has to be the example, and we don't have that today. We don't have the leadership today. Everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody does their own thing. And it is. You become a leader. And that's when I decided, you know, I said, I told the Lord, I said, I don't want to go to heaven if my wife and kids would go to hell. What's the point? Who would spend eternity in knowing that your wife and children would be in a lake of fire? I don't think most people really give Christians even give a rip. I don't think they believe it's true. Follow God. Follow God, because I will tell you what, it affects other people.
Amen.
It affects. And because of doing that, that's when the Lord made the covenant with me and said, because you did what I told you to do and walked like I told you to walk, he said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. And he's been doing it. And I don't run around and preach at them or say a thing to them. And he'll bring every one of them in. He will. He'll bring every one of them in, because he can't lie. He can't lie. He can't lie. See, get yourself in that. You walk, you know. My job, the Lord told me, wasn't trying to get Wanda to follow God. That was not my job. My job was get to Ed follow God. That's my job.
Amen.
See, don't ever try to push on the other one. It never works. You know, don't ever say, you need to be doing this or you need to be doing that. So one thing is I don't do that with her. My job is to set example and follow God and let God deal with her. God can deal with her if I let him deal with her. It's not my job to deal with her about it. Understand with yourself, back and forth between each other and that stuff. It's not your, your job to see that the other one does right. It's your job to see you do right. Greatest testimony that any Christian can do is live right.
Amen.
Not telling other people to. Live right. Walk right. One of the greatest blessings that I got from my two daughters was this, was they told me that they were talking and they said this, they said, there's one thing they said about you, Dad. Said, you always lived what you said you believed. You always lived it.
Amen.
And I thought, well, what a better thing my daughters could say to me.
Amen.
You know, there's one thing, as I look at my father always lived what he said he believed. My father was an example. What he said he believed, he walked it. He did. He was a man of his word. Just like the sun coming up on the morning. You could count on my dad's word like the sun coming up on the morning. He was like God. He changed not.
Amen.
And fortunately, I got to be raised under that. And understand it and see it. And thank God he walked righteous. My dad walked in what he knew. He didn't know everything about the Bible. There's a lot he didn't know, but what he knew, he walked in. And I tell you, if somebody had stood for you, you told him you were going to kill him and cut his head off tomorrow if he didn't announce Jesus, he'd just tell you right then, get the blade out. You might as well do it now. Don't wait till morning. It ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to change overnight.
Hallelujah.
It was just amazing. He was sold out for Jesus, and that's the way that they were. And I just thank God for it. You know?
Amen.
You know, I thought they were pretty crazy, but I found out they were pretty right. I was pretty crazy. Hallelujah. So glory to God. So these folks down there, but having the pity of God, always say, there's one thing about God's mercy is absolutely phenomenal. You know, no matter how you mess up and whatever you do and you get yourself in trouble up to your neck. It's amazing what God will do. There's one thing, so we know at this time how to turn in faith to God, how to respond to Him. We don't have to sit and wait till things get so rotten and He goes, oh my God, I got to do something because they're too stupid to help themselves. I don't want to go to that. We know how we can respond to Him. We respond to Him by faith. Hallelujah. And He'll respond back to us. Glory to God. I don't want to get into greatly distressed. I don't want to go to that. Because when you read the stories in here about they're greatly distressed, I mean, it's awful. It's not good stuff. It's bad. Bad, bad stuff. So, we definitely don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Well, so we found out that the Lord did raise up judges, that God in His mercy, hallelujah, see, you can always get God is merciful. It says in 19, it said, it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. So in other words, when God would deliver them and the judge there, when the judge died, they got worse than they were before. But you know what's just interesting? God would send another judge. These are, like he said, what kind of people are they? Well, he tells us here what they are. You know, they're just rebellious. They're stubborn. This is what they're doing. but still God sent them judges. Because we go on, he talks about these and he goes on to talk about the judges and people that he sent to deliver them in spite of all this. So, how merciful he was to spare these people. It says, then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So that through them, now this is a real interesting thing, that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. So he hadn't done that because he said he left them there to test them. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit, about this, about testing. Because testing is different than tempting. God's not tempting. God doesn't tempt man to sin. In other words, God doesn't try to set a man up to sin. He'll never do that. He can't. If God did, then him and the devil are definitely brothers. I mean, you know, they're one of a kind, but he doesn't. But testing, God does. God tests us. And you need to understand what testing is. It's like just from the standpoint that we do, in any of the ways that we do, whether in education or anything, in teaching, there is no point of testing or instructing people without having them to prove it out, that they've learned it or know how to do it. You know, you could sit down and watch all the videos you want on things of how to do them, but it's another thing when you have to go apply yourself to it. And so whether it's information given, we give tests and that stuff in schools and things, but you're tested all the time. You know, whether you realize in things in life all the time, we're tested. You know, you're tested if you want to take a recipe and make it. You'll be tested at how you follow that recipe to how the thing turned out and that kind of stuff. That's you're going to be tested on the information that's given by when you go to do it, whether you can do it or not. You're going to be tested on it. We go through all through life, whether we like it, that's the way you learn. See, what we're trying to do today, and America is on the road to failure, and it cannot succeed because it's trying to make testing less. It's trying to say, okay, you don't have to pass the test. Everybody's going to be on an equal plane. We're all going to fail together. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take standards lower. Testing, God will never make your testing a lower standard. If He does, you can't come up to the levels He wants you to. It's impossible. You know, just think about like jobs that you're on and that stuff, things to learning and how to do. You know, sometimes and over the years I've been on jobs and stuff, and you watch people who are really good at doing it and you see them doing that job. But to learn, it takes you a lot of different levels to learn how to do certain things. You know, it's sort of like, I remember working in a machine shop, and I used to work with this, they sent me to work with this one guy to learn. He was doing, they had to chrome some of their parts and teaching how to chrome. And you know, you could sit and probably read stuff about and study out of books out of chroming. But this guy had learned some things over the years. He could have wrote a book about some really cool things that you could do to make things, to work out better and, you know, do a better job. And he, you know, understood those things over time. Well, he learned it. He was taking, because he would try and error things. He would take a trial and error, try to do different things and that stuff. And so, and it was a learning process. It was by doing. He had gained information, and then he would apply that. And when he got good with that information, then he would try to do other things and try to do other stuff. And the same way he would turn around and teach me how to do things. I never got as good at it as he did. He was really good. I mean, generally, chroming, I knew how to do that, what they wanted done. But there's a lot of things that he knew that I never spent enough time with him that I was able to learn a lot of the stuff that he knew. But the whole thing is all, when you're around somebody, you go through a time of testing, of working with things. And when I first started off, there's things and mistakes that I made and that stuff, and we had to take stuff and write it down to re-chrome and stuff and things like that. But that's all part of testing. You have to do that. And see, we need to, it's the same way with God. I remembered hearing this, because when I look at some of the things, like when I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach when I first started off as a Christian, he talked about things that he went through and really in life, some really tough stuff that he went through learning to follow God and going through some tough times and tough things going on. But one of the things that I was very interested in was this, that when it really perked me up, because the Lord told him one day and said to him, he said, I allowed you to go through some of the stuff that you went through, and I allowed you to go through that, he said, so you could teach my people faith.
Amen.
See, his faith was tested to find out whether he could say, see, people, you know, it's like he would always tell us, he would say this. He said, great faith is made through great trials, and if you ain't been through any great trials, you do not have great faith. Great faith is made through great trials. You can always tell this about people, just in faith in Jesus alone, just the fact that he's Savior and you believe he's God. You know, some people, every time, you know, something happens or goes wrong and things, they have a little problem, they quit on God just like that. They get upset at God. They're mad at God. Why? It's because they never grew up. They can't face any testing. See, people must be able to face testing. You must, you know, I've had things go, and sometimes I thought, man, God, where are you? Man, you know, this thing here, I'm doing what you told me to do, and this thing's falling apart. Now, you have a choice. You can either stick with God or go against him. You have a choice. See, people, this is one thing. You, in schools are the same way. You have kids who will face the tests and stuff that are going on, and you have the ones that as soon as things don't work their way, and now it's like, off. And you know what? If they don't change from that, they never learn. They never, it just keeps going on. You come to the place that you have to learn to endure, the Bible calls hardship, or that suffering stuff. See, we don't like that. There's things of suffering. Now, these people were suffering unnecessarily. These were suffering from enemies they were supposed to be dominating. But that doesn't mean that faith was given to you and me so we don't face anything. We do. It's just like Peter wrote, when you suffer a while. You know, sometimes God holds out for a bit to find out, to prove, not to himself. He knows what your character's like. He wants you to see it. and sometimes it ain't as cute as we thought it was. Do you ever find sometimes your character needed some proof? Oh, that happens a lot, huh? Huh, hon? Do you find out that my character needs improved? Hold thy tongue, woman. Hey, no talking over there. But see, What testing is not, testing is done, and it should be from a school standpoint. It's not just to show a teacher what you can do. It's to show you what you can do. See, we put it on the things, and see, this is most people. Most people think that, like, say, if you were, you're learning in a subject, to, whether it's a school or what, it's about what they want out of you. No! It's about what you got in you. This is about you, not them. Are you learning the things that they're teaching you? Are you learning it? God does the exact same thing. So he told Kenneth Hagin that he allowed him to go through things so he could teach people faith. In other words, he could learn to do it and could tell people how it's done, not just talk about faith. See, you need, this is one thing, is people teaching with experience is a whole different thing than people just teaching knowledge. The Lord spoke to me then, was a number of years later after that, and he spoke to me about teaching faith, and he said to me, the same thing he said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, I allowed you to go through some things. See, I realize there's things that, I went through that I give testimony today, that those things God allowed me to go through. Why? Because I learned from a faith standpoint, God will do what he says. Amen. And I can tell people. See, you know, you aren't going to impress a whole lot of people just giving a testimony about a headache you had one time and got healed. You're going to have to come up with a better one than that.
Yeah.
And see, people should be able to come up with testimonies how God specifically helped them in things. They need to do that. Is not going, not just to, the Bible tells us stories, the Bible tells us these stories of other people and their experiences. We are to have our own.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We're to have our own experiences with God. Mm-hmm. And we choose whether we will let God lead us through an experience. See, many people say, well, God doesn't do through me. Do you allow him to bring an experience in you? Do you allow him to come in and it might bring a little bit of discomfort he lets you go through to prove out that I'll be true to you.
Yeah. Amen.
See, most people, this is what they want. Everything works wonderful and good, and I know that there's a God. I mean, it just don't work like that. Because you live in this world, and everything don't work out beautiful and right. And there's a lot of devils around you. And he's influencing a lot of people. And so, how on earth do we do this? How do you make it? It's just like to me, one of the things that I, you know, just enjoy is the fact of this is because, I mean, as nutty as our country is, all the crazy things that people are doing and saying and nuts, not just people, even Christians, the nuttiest stuff they're doing and saying, I ain't lost my joy. Hallelujah. There's a God. And it's me, I can't imagine. I mean, there's people that are all stressed out and everything, stuff that's going on, and I really feel bad for them because, you know, it's enough to have things going bad, but then you're as stressed as the stuff is going bad. And man, that makes a lousy life. That makes terrible. That's awful. I mean, trying to survive that is just a terrible, hard thing. And so this faith and trusting this God, but you don't get to that place. You don't learn to maintain your joy with everything going great all the time. See, when I learned to maintain my joy, it was when trouble was going on, and the Lord would speak to me about losing my joy. And I'd, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I lost my joy. Well, and what it is, it wasn't that I didn't have it, but I was letting go on the outside, and I was responding to the outside by my outside.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time in me, there was joy, but I wasn't letting that out. What I was letting out was what I thought was at the time, which I know. So, we need to understand this. Do not run away from testing. When you're in under a pressure thing, you know what? God don't. If, to me, I look at it, if these people acting in this manner, God would have pity on them, not being in faith and deliver them. Well, what would he do for you and me who are not trying to ignore him, who want to walk, we're walking by faith as best we know how to him? Would he respond to us? Surely he would. He'll respond. He'll take care of us. Know what's going on? He's going to look after us. Because I look, just think about, you know, David King. I mean, the guy's out there and he, you know, he's all served God, doing real good. So he turns around, takes another man's wife, and he kills the guy. I mean, dear Lord, God still uses a man. I mean, you talk about it's phenomenal what God will do. And I'm not recommending anybody to do that. There's no recommendations made here. But I'm saying about we have this in the Bible, and we look down. God is so merciful. I mean, those things took place under law. That's phenomenal. They took place under law. Under law, David should have been stoned to death. It's phenomenal. God and his mercy. Hallelujah. Well, it's the same with us. We may even do dumb things on the outside, but I'm going to tell you this, God knows your heart.
Amen.
And that's one thing, as you always know, you have to know your own heart. Don't judge yourself by your flesh. You need to be very careful. You will very well have a hard time growing up if you just judge yourself by your flesh. You have a tough time growing. You've got to know your heart. I know this without a fact about myself. I love God with all my heart. I do. I love him. That don't mean that I don't ever get in the flesh. But in the flesh ain't me.
That's right.
See, know yourself. Know yourself. That's important. Because when you mess up, if you judge your inner man by the outer man, you'll stay messed up. Because one thing, you're wrongly judging yourself. You're judging the spirit by the outer, which is incorrect. Understand, we're no longer under the thing of Scripture like the Old Testament. Man's heart's always to do evil. If it is, you're not born again. Your heart is not to do evil. When you do evil, you know what happens to you? Your conscience bothers you. Because that's your spirit saying to you, you shouldn't have done that. And your flesh says, well, let's ignore that. But I wanted to. Do you know what they did to me? I know you guys never had that. That's just me. Well, we have that problem sometimes. Hallelujah. But we're going to hold there tonight. We won't go on to anything further than this. But I just want you to read through this thing. Is don't get these kind of things. The Old Testament can seem very dark. But you need to be understood. Oh, it's like we were told in Bible school, always stick with God. It might look dark, but I tell you, understand in the light of God. When I was reading through this, I was thinking, the mercy of God is the most phenomenal thing. Here it was. And all this that's going on, God's mercy is sustaining his people in spite of all this evil they've done. All this that they've done, he hasn't quit on them. Which, and this is supernatural. This is, we sometimes want to see the miraculous, but we miss the supernatural. And this is supernatural that God would be so merciful to these people. And they're just ignoring him. He sends judges to help him, and they just end up getting worse. But did he quit? Hey, we got a lot of the book left yet. What he did. And he turns around and redeems man. I mean, these groups, the way they're acting, it almost looks like the people before the flood. But yet he hasn't quit them. Why? Because of this. He made a covenant. And he is a God of covenant. Covenant's an important thing. God makes covenant. And so, walk in the light of that the covenant of God. You have a covenant with God. Even if you miss it, you do wrong. You can go, confess your sin. He's faithful and just. You can get right back into fellowship with God. You never have to live a life out of fellowship. Sin doesn't have to keep you out of fellowship. If you stay out of fellowship with God, it's by your own ignorance or choice. One of the two. Fellowship, he will call you to, because in 1 John he tells you, if you sin, he'll forgive you. And you're right back in fellowship, here in fellowship with God. So there's no reason. I mean, there's nothing between you two. And so you can go right back to fellowship with him again. And that is always the best place. I don't care who's the brightest guy in the bunch and knows the most about the Bible. It's who can walk in fellowships going the furthest.
Amen.
understanding fellowship, when a person understands fellowship with God, can go a long way. I learned that was one of the things that I learned, with being like over in Fiji when I started going over there at first and looked at really there's people, there's Christians over there didn't know a lot about a lot of things with the Word of God and stuff. Even though the churches I was going to, they were spirit filled and that stuff, but they were taught a lot of legalism and things and that stuff. But really great, wonderful people. But one of the things that those people had was fellowship with God. They loved God. And they loved to fellowship with him. And you could tell that among them. They were simple people. But they loved God and they worshiped him like it was God, man. I'm going to tell you what. And it's realizing that is fellowship. And because of that fellowship, God would move. Here in the United States, I had never been in services like they had over there. It was because of their fellowship with God. It wasn't because we have all kind of people who know a whole lot more and are a lot smarter about the word. Yet they can't get a move of God like they had. And why? Fellowship. They just fellowship. They love God and they fellowship with God. And it was so important to them. And so in our same way, we need to walk in the light. There's always maintaining our fellowship. And don't let mistakes in life, things where you mess up, and that's to keep you from your fellowship with God. Just confess your sin. And walk in faith, man. He likes you. Maybe nobody else does. Well, you're right. Other people may not like you. Other people may. God does. Hallelujah. So just walk in the light. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for opening up the word for us to see and understand, comprehend. Lord God, you did put these things in this book for our learning. Lord, so you don't want us doing the same kinds of thing and walking in the same way. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving us these things, Lord God, and especially showing us how merciful you are. You're phenomenal. You're the most incredible. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God. I am so glad, Lord God, that I got to be on this side of redemption. So thankful. Lord God, the people of faith in those days look forward to the day that they saw that the prophets had said. And Lord God, we're not looking for it. We're in it. So thank you so much. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us life. And Lord God, we get to see you in all your blessing and glory. And especially, Lord, the kindness of your grace and mercy is absolutely phenomenal. We thank you for it. Father, I thank you. You're going to just continue to work in us. As Lord, I've stood in my Christian walk and always have said, Lord, the good work you started in me, you're going to bring it to completion. Hallelujah. Lord God, that's by your purpose. Your word says it. Lord God, it's not going to come to pass because I just said it. Lord God, I'm saying it because you said it. Hallelujah. Lord God, your word will perform what you said. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.